রহমতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি রাব্বিল আলামিন, আসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলা আশরাফিল আমবিয়া ওয়াল মুরসালিন ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া আতবাঈহি বি ইহসানিন ইলা ইয়াওমিদ্দিন। আম্মা বাদ, মাই ব্রাদার্স এন্ড সিস্টার্স এন্ড এল্ডার্স, টুডে আই থট আই উড লাইক টু টক টু ইউ অবাউট দ্যাট জেনারেশন which was the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a generation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set and created and established as the gold standard for all of mankind to come thereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his last and final messenger, and therefore he did something that he had not done before. He created a generation of people to continue the work of Dawah of Islam even after the passing away of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is something that happened only for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The work of Nubuwwat and Risalat didn't stop. Nubuwwat and Risalat stopped, but the work of Nubuwwat and Risalat didn't stop. And that is why we deny and refute anyone who claims to be a Nabi after Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there was no need for any Nabi after him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created an entire group of people, a whole generation of people, to be the gold standard for the work, to benchmark itself against, to see if it is on the right path or not. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to that generation, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Allah said to them, you are the best of people, ever raised up for the benefit of mankind. You enjoin al-ma'roof, which is all that is good and permitted in Islam. And you forbid al-munkar, which is all that is bad and forbidden in Islam. And you believe in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to introduce himself and his work in these words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنَا بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبْعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Which means, in Surah Yusuf, Allah said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, introduce yourself like this and say, this is my way. I invite towards Allah with sure knowledge, with evidence. I and whosoever follows me also invites towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sure evidence. And glorified and exalted is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am not of the mushrikeen. This is an introduction of the Nabi and an introduction of the generation which followed that Nabi. And it's an introduction, inshallah, of the Muslimin until the day of judgment, all those who follow and do the ittiba of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed in his book and taught us how to pray and told us what to ask and how to ask. And he made this dua the beginning of every rakat of salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it fard and said that the salah is not valid without this dua. There is a difference of opinion whether it should be recited individually by every worshipper or whether the recitation of the imam is sufficient or not. But nobody says that the salah is valid without Surah Fatiha. And what is that dua which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to say in every rakat or every salah? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim ghairil maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us and said, O Allah, guide us to the way of steadfastness. Sirat al-mustaqim. The translation of sirat al-mustaqim generally is given a straight path. But the actual translation of istiqama is steadfastness. It's not just a straight path. It is a path of steadfastness, where you stick on this path irrespective of difficulties happening to you. Sirat al-mustaqim, the path of istiqamat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, guide us to the way of istiqamah. And by way of tashrih and tafsil and tafsir and an explanation, what is this path of steadfastness? Sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim. The path of those who you bestowed your grace on and who earned your mercy and earned your reward. So who are these people who earned the in'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are the an'amta alayhim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentioned, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, who are the an'amta alayhim? Who are the an'amta alayhim? Who are the people who Allah rewarded? Allah said, and whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See the mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a way of including ourselves in this ayah. What is Allah saying? Allah is saying, and whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they will be in the company of those on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His grace. Of the Nabiyeen, the Prophets, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Martyrs, and the Salihin, and the righteous people, and Hasuna Ulaika Rafiqa, and how excellent are those companions. See the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply could have said, Anamallahu alayhim min al-Nabiyeen, wa Siddiqeen, wa Shuhada, wa Salihin. Khalas. The ayah would be complete, the grammar would be correct. Allah could have said, Allah has bestowed His in'am on the Nabiyeen, wa Siddiqeen, wa Shuhada, wa Salihin. This has been informed to you. Period. Khalas. Then you ask the question, can I be included in that? We don't know. How can I be included in that? I don't know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy. Allah is Rahman ur Rahim fi dunya wal akhirah. What did Allah say? Allah showed us a way. Wa man yuti Allah wa rasulahu. وَمَنْ يُطِي اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. The one who obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be with these people on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed their mercy and grace. I ask you, ask yourself in your own hearts. The key to all of this is not just to listen to the ayat of the Quran and some explain. Ask yourself in your own heart, what would you give today to stand on the day of judgment in the company of the Anbiya? What would you give today? What would you give to stand in the company of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the company of Ibrahim, in the company of Nuh, of Musa, wa Isa, wa Zakariya, wa Yahya, alayhimus salam? What would you give today to stand in their company on the day of judgment? What would you give today to stand in the company of the Siddiqeen, in the company of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? For the women, in the company of the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam, who is from the Siddiqun. What would you give to stand in the company of the Shuhada without being Shaheed yourself? Allah did not say that you will be in the company of the Shuhada only if you are Shaheed fi sabilillah. Allah said those who obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be in the company of those who gave their lives for the sake of this deen, even if you did not do that yourself. Ajib. As long as you obeyed Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will be in the company of the Nabiyeen, you are not a Nabi. In the company of the Siddiqeen, you are not a Siddiq. In the company of the Shuhada, you are not a Shaheed. In the company of the Salihin, you are not a Salih. But you will be in their company because you obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the best of your ability. My brothers and sisters, I ask you, ask yourself this question. What will you give today to be in that position on the day of judgment? Subhanallah, not much is being asked for you and me today to be in that position. If we want to be in the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, wa Shuhada, wa Salihin, what is being asked for us? Just obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the people. I'm talking to you about the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. In the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was standing on the mountain of Uhud one day, and they felt, and along with him on the mountain of Uhud was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, was Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, and Sayyidina Uthman ibn al-Affan radiallahu anhu majma'in. They were standing on the mountain of Uhud, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt a tremor in the mountain. He felt the tremor of an earthquake. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stamped his foot on the mountain, and he said, why do you shake? when there is a Nabi and there is a Siddiq and there are two Shaheed standing on you. This hadith is also, it was a prophecy about the Shaheed of the Shahada of Umar ibn al-Khattab and Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. It is this generation that I want to talk to you about today and to remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this generation to be an example to the rest of the world until the end of time. My brothers and sisters, this is the generation whose actions will be the standard against which the actions of the rest of the world will be measured to ascertain whether they come up to the mark or not. And then those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive, and we ask Allah to include us among them, Allah will make the hisab easy and He will cover them with His mercy and He will fulfill their shortcomings out of His rahmah. But imagine the fate of those who are compared directly to the standard, who are compared directly to the standard of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that is the standard. Imagine the fate of those whose salah is compared to the salah of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, because that is the standard. The salah of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was considered to be a threat by the Quraysh. They said anyone who sees him praying accepts Islam, so tell him to pray inside his house. He is not allowed to pray in public. Can you imagine this? He is not even giving dawah. He is not even talking to anybody. They say if they see him praying, his khushu' is such that people accept Islam. So ask him to pray inside his house. Abu Bakr Siddiq prayed for a few days. Then he stopped praying. He came into the sahan. He started praying there. People again, same issue. Then he said, Keep your protection, I'm not interested, I will pray where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted me to pray. Imagine if your and my salah is compared to the salah of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, where will we stand, because that is the standard. Imagine if our fasting is compared to the fasting of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. They asked him, what do you like the best in life? They asked him, which are the things you like the best in life? I want you to ask yourself these questions. Ask yourself, what do I like best in life? You know what Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, the best things I like in life, two of them. He said to wake up in the middle of the night on a cold winter night and to make wudu in cold water and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, the other thing I like is to fast during the hottest of summer days for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajib. And we are a people today, when if we don't see the moon on one day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bless us with one extra day of Ramadan, for us it is a musibah. For us it's a musibah. Subhanallah, on one more day of fasting, one more day by which you will be away from the Jahannam by the width of three trenches, the width of each of which will be the width between the heavens and the earth. Another day where the shaitan is chained up. Another day where your dua is accepted. Another day, another day, another day. But the problem is, we have no realization, no istihzar of what we are doing. Even when we are praying and fasting, we are like robots. Somebody presses a button, so we go and pray. We are not standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where is our prayer about which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِنَّكَ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَى. How many of us are praying as if we are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is why the prayer, the salah, is a musibah, to be dumped on the ground and to get out of there as quickly as possible. It is not something that we look forward to. It is not something which is the coolness of our eyes, as it was with the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain. What will be the fate of the one whose charity, and we feel very proud, I give this much for Allah, I give that much for Allah. What about that giving if it is compared with the charity of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was raising funds for Tabuk, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, and Uthman radiallahu anhu, who brought a bag of gold and poured the coins into the lap of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said more. He brought another bag of gold. He poured that into Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lap. He said more. He brought one more bag of gold. He poured that. He said, I will equip 10,000 soldiers completely with mounts and armors and everything. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hands and fingers into those gold coins, and he picked them up like that and let them fall through his fingers. And he said, after this day, Uthman can never do anything wrong. He said, Allah has forgiven Uthman. He said, Uthman can never do anything wrong after this day. Where does your and my charity compare to the charity of Uthman ibn Affan? Remember, it is not the quantity, it is the ikhlas of that charity. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there will come on the day of judgment a person whose charity will be half a date seed, and that half date seed will have more weight on the scales than a mountain of Uhud of gold. It's not the amount. Don't think that I'm giving this much and therefore Allah does not need. You are not giving anything, because what you are giving is what you got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you giving? Are you giving from yourself? Did you get that money from somewhere else other than from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To return somebody's property to them is called charity? It's not called charity in any dictionary in the world except in the dictionary of the Quran. Because the dictionary of the Quran was written by Rahman or Rahim fi dunya wal akhirah. It is an illogical definition. It is an unjust and unfair definition. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy and grace wants to give us that honor. When we return His own thing to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it charity and gives us reward. You give somebody a loan and he returns that loan to you, do you give him a reward? Where did we get the money from? And when that money is returned, it's the grace of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a reward. And that is why the ikhlas is so important. It's not the amount of money. As the shayar, the Urdu shayar said, Jaan di. You know, in Jihad fi sabilillah, a man got shaheed. So he said, Jaan di. Di hui usi ki thi. Haq to ye hai ki haq ada na hua. He said, Jaan di to kya kiya? Wo to Allah ki jaan thi, wapas diya to kya kara? Haq to ye hai ki haq ada na hua. These are the people, my brothers and sisters, who were taught by the greatest muallim, the greatest teacher of all teachers, by the greatest mufti of all muftis, by the lawgiver himself. They sat at his feet and they studied in the Darul Uloom of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These were the people who lived in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today we say that to learn the deen, sohbat is important. It's important to keep the company of good people. Who is better in sohbat than Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself? And that was the company that the Sahaba had. And these are the people that I want to talk to you about. These are the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed whenever He said, Al-Mu'mineen, wherever He said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ar-Rijal, all of these addresses were direct addresses to the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. By inference, we are also addressed when Allah is giving a hukum, when He said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, and order something, the hukum applies on us. But who were the people who Allah was speaking to? Not you and me. Allah was speaking to the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them Jannah. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the Sahaba? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. Once again, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have simply said in this ayah, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْسَارِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوَانَ, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added one more phrase inside that. Subhanallah, fall in sajda and make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah added one more phrase. What is the phrase? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. Subhanallah. Allah said, the sabiqoon, al-awwaloon, the first to embrace Islam of the muhajirun and the ansar, and those who followed them exactly till the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the door for all of us to include ourselves in those about whom it was said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. They were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for them, what has Allah promised them? وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. These are the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, there are 8 qualities of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, which I have taken out of the Quran. And they are as follows. The first one is yaqeen. The second one is taqwa. The third one is ita'at. The fourth one is adab. The fifth one is infaq fi sabilillah. The sixth one is shuja'a. The seventh one is akhlaq. And the eighth one is wafa. Inshallah, our classes tomorrow and day after tomorrow will be tafsil of all of this. So inshallah, we'll do this in detail. Today we don't have enough time to go into the detail of all this, but I'm going to quickly run through them. Yaqeen is certainty of faith, complete and total belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all His teachings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those people who had this belief, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلُّنَا آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ رُسُلِهِ وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bearing witness to the iman of the Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believes in what has been sent down to him from his Rabb, and so do the believers. Who is the witness of the iman of Sahaba? Allah himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said each one believes in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers, and they say we make no distinction between one or another of his messengers, and they say sami'na wa atana, we hear and we obey. غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. O our Rabb, we seek your forgiveness, and to you is our return. Second quality, taqwa. Consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us and the Sahaba. He said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a good example to follow for him who hopes for the meeting with Allah and has iman and hope for the last day and remembers Allah much. The Sahaba learned their lessons well because their teacher was the master of masters. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about them and what they used to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ السَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bearing witness to the taqwa of the Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the people, these are the men, رِجَال. I told you this word is used in the Quran with great honor. It's not just to be understood as men, as in an expression of gender. Rijal means, it's like saying about somebody, he was a man. You're not referring to the gender there. You're referring to the nobility, the grace, the majesty, the good qualities of akhlaq of this person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rijalun la tulhihim tijaratun wala bayun an dhikrillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these were the men whom neither trade nor sale diverts them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor from establishing as-salah, nor from giving zakat, and they fear a day when the hearts and eyes will be overturned from the horror of the torment of the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described these people in one of the most beautiful ayats of the Quran. And he mentioned men and women specifically and individually so that this becomes clear that in Islam, men and women are equal and partners one of the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab again, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ وَالْخَاشِعِينَ وَالْخَاشِعَاتِ والخاشين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا. Allah said, Verily, the Muslims, men and women, the believers, men and women, the men and women who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-qanitina wal-qanitat, the men and women who are humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the men and women who give sadaqat, the men and women who observe sawm and fast, the men and women who guard their chastity, and the men and women who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much with their hearts and tongues, Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward. It is not for a believer, man or woman, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger have decreed in a matter that they should have any option in their decision, and whosoever obeys Allah and His messenger, whosoever disobeys Allah and His messenger, surely he has strayed and is in plain error. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the sahaba and their qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, third quality, ita'at, obedience, immediately accepting the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No arguments, no trying to twist the orders to suit themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the whole issue of accepting and showing the acceptance through amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about showing the acceptance through amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَإِنْ تُطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِدْكُمْ مِنْ عَمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Bedouins who say, we believe, they say amanna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, do not say amanna, say aslamna, do not say we believe, say we have entered Islam, because faith, the belief has not yet entered your hearts. But if you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, what does it mean? It means saying is not enough, that saying has to be shown in action. If you obey Allah and His messenger, He will not decrease anything in reward for your deeds. Verily Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a condition. He says, إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا. Allah says that only they are believers who believed in Allah and His messenger and afterwards did not doubt, but they strove with their wealth and their lives for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only those are the sadiqun, are the truthful ones. Complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and complete obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without doubts and without any arguments is a condition of iman. Number four, adab, respectful attitudes towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yadayillahi wa rasulihi wattaqullah innallaha sami'un alim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawtin nabi wa la tajharu lahu bilqawli kajahri ba'dikum li ba'd an tahbata 'amalukum wa antum la tash'urun. Innalladhina yaghudduna aswatahum inda rasulillahi ulaika alladhina amtahana الله قلوبهم للتقوى لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم. In Surah Hujurat, the beginning ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, do not put yourselves forward before Allah and His messenger and fear Allah. Verily Allah is all hearing and all knowing. O you who believe, do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and do not speak aloud to him as you speak aloud to one another, lest your deeds are wiped out. Lest your deeds are completely rendered fruitless while you don't even know that without your knowledge. Verily, those who lower their voices in the presence of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the ones whose hearts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested for piety. For them is forgiveness and a great reward. What is the meaning of not raising your voice over the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam today? What is the meaning of not putting yourself before Allah and His Messenger today? Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not here. What is the meaning of saying, don't raise your voice? Does this ayah apply to us today? Or was it only for the sahaba? What is our aqidah about the Quran? Does the ayah apply to us today or not? Yes or no? Yes. What is the meaning of it? It means that for somebody to take a hadith, a sahihah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to dispute it, he is raising his voice above the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For somebody who is making a fun of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is raising his voice above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For someone to speak against or apart from a hukum of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is raising his voice above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What do you say to people who do that even with the ayat of Quran? What do you say to people who say that hijab is not required anymore, it is not necessary to do hijab, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered hijab in the Quran? What do you say to somebody who says that salah is okay if you pray, okay if you not pray, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said iqamah salah, iqamah salah, iqamah salah? What do you say to them? You say to them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, that on the day of judgment you will wake up and you will find that all your amal, all your sadaqat, all your salah, all your hajj, all your umrah, even if you are shaheed fi sabillah, will be wiped clean from your slate, and you will enter the hellfire on a grease slide with great speed. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this. He said your amal will be wiped out and you will not even know. Beware, my brothers and sisters. Beware of following the khahishat of your nafs. Beware of following those who are leading you into the hellfire. You have got the book of Allah. You have got the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If someone tells you that the hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam are not to be followed, he is denying the Quran, and the one who denies the Quran is a kafir. Please understand this very, very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number 5, infaq fi sabilillah, spending and investing in the deen of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, innal ladhina yubay'unaka innama yubay'una Allah, yadullaha fawqa aydihim, faman nakatha fa innama yankuthu ala nafsih, wa man awfa ahada alayhu allaha فَسَيُؤْتِهِ أَجْرًا عَزِيمًا. Allah said, verily, those who give a pledge to you, O Muhammad, they are giving a pledge to Allah. The hand of Allah is over their hands. And then whosoever breaks his pledge, he breaks only to his own harm. And whosoever fulfills what he has been covenanted to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow on him a great reward. This ayah came at the time of Baitul Ridwan in Al-Hudaybiyah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the bayah from the sahaba to fight until death if necessary. And they gave the bayah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are actually pledging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hand of Allah is above them. This is one of the ayat of the Quran, which is the bashara of the forgiveness of all the sahaba who gave the bayah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time under the tree which is called Baitul Ridwan. And then several other ayahs which are proof that the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, biiznillahi ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the highest stations in the Jannah. Point number 6, shuja'at, courage. Courage and steadfastness to face difficulties in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not running for cover every time, anytime somebody says something about Islam and Muslims, and we hide and we are apologetic and we are bent backwards to try to please this one and that one. This is not a quality of the sahaba. The sahaba had courage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, walamma ra'a al-mu'minuna al-ahzaba qalu hadha ma wa'adana Allahu wa rasuluhu wa sadaqa Allahu wa rasuluhu wa ma zadahum illa imanan wa taslima min al-mu'minina rijalun sadaqu ma hadu 'alayhi Allah من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and when the believers, they saw Al-Ahzab, the huge army of the Quraysh and the people with the Quraysh, 10,000 people, first time Medina being attacked, when the Sahaba saw this army, what did they do? What did the munafiqeen say? The munafiqeen said, this is what was going to happen. Muhammad is going to get you all killed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did the sahaba say? And what did the sahaba feel? What did they do? And what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bearing witness about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they saw the ahzab, they said, this is what Allah and His Messenger promised us. And Allah and His Messenger are true. And this only added to their faith and to their submissiveness to Allah. Zadahum imanam wa taslima. Seeing the enemy increase their iman. Can you believe this? Subhanallah. This is the test of the Muslim. The test of the Muslim is not to say nice things when everything is going in your favor. The test of the Muslim is what happens when you are faced with difficulty. What happens when you are faced with loss. What happens when you are faced with musibah. What happens when you are faced with fear. Does the fear make you run for cover? Or does the fear increase your iman? So, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that we will face the enemy. Why are they saying Alhamdulillah? Because only when you face the enemy do the heavens open, and only when you face the enemy do the angels come down, and only when you face the enemy can you hope to see the sun shining on the spear of Jibreel alayhi salam. Not when you are sitting in air-conditioned masajid, subhanAllah. Not when you are sitting in the comfort of your home. May Allah keep you safe. And may Allah air condition all your masajid, but you are not going to see angels descending inside the masjid, believe me. Second last point, akhlaq. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Muhammadur Rasulullah. والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطعه فأزره فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those who are with him are severe against the disbelievers, and they are merciful amongst themselves. Ajib, we live in a world where we are the opposite. We are apologetic and fearful of the disbelievers, and we are severe amongst ourselves. Subhanallah, Ajib. Upside down world and upside down Islam. And that is why the help of Allah does not come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you see them bowing and prostrating and bowing and making sujood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. And you see them seeking bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his good pleasure. The mark of their faith is on their foreheads. This does not refer to the black mark on your forehead when you make sujood. It refers to the noor in the face of the believer and the worshipper. So there's no need to rub your forehead on the carpet to get a black mark. Without that, your face is still, inshallah, a face of noor, as long as there's noor coming in the face. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is their description in the Torah, but their description in the Injil is like a sown seed which sends forth its shoot and then makes it strong. It becomes thick and stands straight on its stem, delighting the sowers that he may enrich the disbelievers with them. Allah has promised those among them who believe, the Muslims, and do righteous good deeds, forgiveness and a mighty reward. The last of the qualities of the Sahaba, which I want to talk to you about. And as I said, inshallah, in tomorrow and day after tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday's lectures, we will do this in detail, inshallah. Last of the qualities is loyalty, wafa, loyalty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a religion where Islam is the basis of brotherhood, not race, not color, not nationality. Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the deen the basis of brotherhood, the basis of love, the basis of cohesion between people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. Allah said, you are one brotherhood, you are one people. And I am your Rabb, so worship me. In another place he said, you are one brotherhood, one people, and I am your Rabb, so have taqwa of me. Have a realization that you are in front of your Rabb. The brotherhood in Islam, the cause of cohesion in Islam, the cause, the basis of relationship in Islam is what? Is the deen, is the faith. It's not nationality. It's not, I'm not the brother of another Arab, I'm not the brother of another Indian, I'm not the brother of another Pakistani or Bangladeshi or this one or that one, I'm the brother of another Muslim. No matter where that Muslim comes from, whether he is Arab or he is African or he is, Icelander or God knows what. As long as he is Muslim, I am his brother. And that brotherhood is a special brotherhood. Does not mean that we are the enemies of other people, we are not. We are the brothers also of the non-Muslims. And I will give you dalail from the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Anbiya the brothers of the people among whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَا أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in that surah, series of ayats. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَا أَخَاهُمْ. What is the meaning of أَخَاهُمْ? Allah said to the Madian people of Madian, we sent their brother, Shu'aib. When Shu'aib alayhi salam went, how many Muslims were there? One. What was his name? Shu'aib. How is Allah calling him the Shuaib, the Nabi, the brother of the disbelievers? Because that's a different brotherhood. It's a different brotherhood of the Awamun Nas. Alhamdulillah, we are the brothers of everybody. But there is a special brotherhood of the faith into which someone enters only when they enter the faith. And that is the brotherhood, the wafa, the basis of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning in the Quran in Surah Mujadila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا تجدوا قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباؤهم أو أبناؤهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه ويدخلهم جنات تجري من تحت الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will not find any people who believe in Allah and the last day making friendship with those who oppose Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If somebody is opposing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if somebody is speaking against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if somebody is speaking against Muhammad Rasulullah, if somebody is speaking against the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is fard upon you to reject them and to delete them from your telephone book and to delete them from your Facebook and to delete them from every other book and not to invite them to your house and not to accept their invitations, because if you do, then you will be counted among them. Please understand very clearly. This is not fun and games. It has become fashionable in this city for people to speak against Muhammad Rasulullah. It has become fashionable in this city for people to speak against the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has become fashionable in this city for people who cannot even recite the Surah Fatiha with Tajweed to make fatwa on the ayat of the Quran and to say this is jayaz and that is not jayaz. It is fard upon you to reject such people, not to invite them, not to accept their invitation until they come to the right path. They will never come to the right path if they do not feel the pressure of their actions. You invite them, you call them, you go to the invitations. What is the difference? Read Surah Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you do that, you are with them. And what is the meaning of with them? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they have committed kufr. Ba'da imanikum qad kafartum. Ba'da imanikum. Allah said, you have become kafir after you had been Muslim. And those who sit with them and those who are with them, Allah said, you are also ma'hum. You are also with them. My brothers and sisters, don't play games with your life. You do not know when Malakul Maut is going to come calling. And when he comes, he is not going to make a phone call to us, see if you are available or not. He will come and you will be available. Believe me. And at that time, that same person who is making fatwa on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that same person who is making fatwa on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not going to be standing by your bedside. And even if he is standing by your bedside, there is not a thing that he can do. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. You have heard me recite these ayats so many times. It's one of the most beautiful pieces of the Quran which I always like to recite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. You think you are so powerful, you want to extend your tongue on the kitab of Allah and on the kitab of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you want to talk about the Nabi, then if you are so powerful, when the ruh is being taken, when your soul is being extracted, take it back. Return that soul if you have the courage. Don't play games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I warn you and I warn myself, don't play games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't play games with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A day will come and you do not know when it will come. Maybe this is the last time you see me doing this khutbah in this Jummah. Maybe I am not destined to make the next khutbah of this Jummah because I am dead already. Allah knows best. Allah knows who is going to live till when. You do not know about yourself. You do not know about me. All that you know and I know is that one day we will die. One day Malakul Maut will come. Fear that day, because on that day, all of this tamasha that you are living with, all of these games that you are playing, will come back to haunt you in your face. And then what are you going to do? At that time, at the time of death, wallahi, if you have shak, on that time of death, if you have doubt in your mind, believe me, you are going into the hellfire without a doubt. Because shaitan will take away your iman in 1 second. In 1 second, believe me, when everything is going for us, if we cannot resist shaitan, do you think you are going to resist? You are going to be able to resist shaitan when you are dying in your last moments, when shaitan is going to use his complete and total force against you, because he knows 10 seconds from now, you are gone from his hand. If you have died on iman, there is nothing that he can do for you. You will be saved, and may Allah make us among those who are saved. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi was dying, and his son Muhammad was by his side, and Muhammad bin Ahmad says, I heard my father was in Nazar. He used to go into a state of unconsciousness, and he would come back into consciousness, and he would go into unconsciousness. So whenever he came into consciousness, Imam Ahmad used to say, not yet, not yet. Muhammad bin Hamad rahmatullah alayhi says, I got afraid. I said, what is my father saying? Not yet. Why is he afraid of death at this time? What is happening to my father in his last minutes? So when he came back to consciousness and he said, not yet, Muhammad bin Hamad said, yeah, Abi. He said, my father, what are you saying? What is this not yet? Imam Ahmad said, don't you see? Iblis is sitting here. He said, he is sitting here and he is saying, Ahmad, you have escaped me. You have escaped me. And I am telling him, not yet, not yet. Because still some ruh is there. He said, I have still not escaped you. I still reject you. You are shaitan. I rajim. I reject you. Till the last minute, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the istiqama. Danu akrabu ilayhi minkum wala killa tubsirun. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. We are close to you at that time. Even though you cannot see us, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be close to us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen us in this dunya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen us at the time of our death. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the amal which will last with us till forever and ever. Ameen. Just see. Just think about this. This masjid was created by two people. Both of one of them is here. The son of the other one is here. Subhanallah. Whether they come or they don't come, people come here. People pray. For every salah, they are getting a reward. For every dua, they are getting a reward. In the asma, what does it take? What is the value of this masjid? I can tell you the real estate value. Tell me the real estate value of this when you are dying. Tell me the real estate value of this masjid when your ruh is being taken. Subhanallah. Open your eyes, my brothers. Don't live in this dunya like animals or like robots. Don't live in this dunya only with dollar signs spinning around in your eyes. Think about the day. That day will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger. Who is the messenger? Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Malakul Maut is standing before you, then what will we say? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, to make us say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Repeat after me. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I ask Allah to make these kalimat the last things that come out from our tongues when our ruh is taken. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send us the bashara of Jannah as He has promised. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send us the angels of mercy and rahmah on us when we are dying. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take our ruh and to be pleased with us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to furnish our khubur with the mafrushat of the Jannah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our khubur wasi and to make the khubur the gardens of Jannah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us on the day of judgment with Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to give us the shade of his arsh and to take us in the company of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who we accept, whose ahadith we accept, whose commands we bow before, and whose Rabb we worship. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us in his company to the house and to give water to drink from his hand and to take us in his company into Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghairi hisab. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.